You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Fall officially started this week, which means it's time again for all things pumpkin to overrun our palates. Pumpkin spice lattes, pumpkin beer, pumpkin Oreos. But has it gone too far? Have we reached peak pumpkin?
For now, we'll squash those concerns and embrace the annual pumpkin craze. For Food Friday today, we found a pumpkin expert to fill us in on how to cook with pumpkin. Michael Crondell is with us. He's a food historian and author of The Great Little Pumpkin Cookbook. Michael, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you. And how could you say there could be too much pumpkin?
Well, but, I mean, pumpkins are in, it seems like, don't you think?
Absolutely. And they should be.
So what is it about pumpkins? You were ahead of the curve. What is it about pumpkins that made you decide to write a cookbook about them?
Well, you know what? I mean, to be serious anybody can, as anyone can be about pumpkins, they are surprisingly versatile, and you only learn this when you start exploring the cuisines of other cultures, because we tend to, you know, putting pumpkin Oreos aside, we tend to just really make pumpkin pie out of pumpkins, right? Mm-hmm. And in fact, if you go to south of France, they have pumpkin that's, you know, gratinade. If you go to Belgium, you've got pumpkin soup. If you've got go other places, you've got pumpkin cheesecake. So you can do a lot more with pumpkins than people think that you can.
Right, a lot of savory applications. I was hearing you talk there and remembering being in New Zealand, and they seem to use pumpkin there the way we use squash here.
Exactly. In fact, there's some confusion about, particularly in Australia, what is a pumpkin and what is a squash. But that actually exists here as well, because most of the pumpkins that you want to use for cooking are closer to a squash, and butternut squash was actually developed out of a kind of a pumpkin.
Hmm. So when we're buying a pumpkin to, you know, when a recipe calls for it, are we thinking big jack-o'-lantern-sized pumpkin, or what are the signs of a good pumpkin to work with for cooking?
Well, the first thing you have to realize is a whole bunch of different varieties of pumpkins out there, and they're grown for different things, so that your average jack-o'-lantern pumpkin is grown to be pretty. It's like a flower. It's meant to be very thin-skinned, so you can carve it nicely. It's meant to be, you know, very, very pumpkin-looking, but it's lousy for cooking. What you want to find is something called a cheese pumpkin. This is a tan-colored pumpkin. This is the kind of pumpkin that butternut squash was developed out of, and in many cases you can substitute butternut squash for this kind of pumpkin, but they're typically called a cheese pumpkin. There's actually a variety called a Wisconsin cheese pumpkin, believe it or not. And they've got very, very thick orange shells, but they're kind of lumpy looking on the outside.
Is there anything cheese-like about them? Where does the name come from?
I think the name came from the fact that they kind of look like a big wheel of Gouda or something like that.
All right. Well, so what do they taste like?
They taste a lot like butternut squash, actually.
So what kind of things, what kind of savory dishes do you like to make with a good, solid cheese pumpkin?
My totally favorite thing is something that is super simple to make, but is crazy tasty. And when I tell you what goes into it, you'll understand why. And you can only make it with a cheese pumpkin. And what you do is you knock off the top, you haul out, you know, all the stuff inside that you don't want, you know, the seeds, the sort of the stringy stuff. And then you start layering it with, like, crusty toasted French bread, grated sharp cheese, like a Gruyere cheese, creme fraiche, which is kind of like that tangy, heavy cream that the French use. And you do layer of this. Put a lot of salt and pepper in there. Put the top back on and seal it with foil and bake it for a couple of hours until it is just, you can just pierce it with a knife and then let it sit around. And what you end up afterwards with is this savory, sweet, cheesy, creamy pudding that obviously would make a great accompanying dish to, you know, Thanksgiving, and you would actually probably forget that there was turkey on the table.
So you would serve this in the pumpkin. So it's actually kind of a smashing centerpiece.
Right, exactly. You serve it in the pumpkin, so it has this kind of great look to it.
Now, I like to use pumpkins for soup a lot. Any advice on making a great pumpkin soup?
Pumpkin soup is like the simplest thing in the world. When my daughter was growing up and wouldn't eat any vegetables, I just fed her pureed pumpkin soup because she would eat it because it's smooth and tasty and sweet. Very simple. You just chop. Actually, the easiest thing to do is you roast the pumpkin off until it's soft and tender. Scoop out the flesh. Saute some onions. Add some good vegetable stock or chicken stock. Obviously, it's going to be better homemade, right? And then you cook it until the onions are very, very soft. You add that cooked, baked squash or pumpkin to it. And then you throw the whole thing in the blender after you're done. And the great thing about it is that not only is it good made that day, but if you make like a triple quantity, it freezes like a dream.
Mm. Wow. Well, and our producer Galen wants to know about candied pumpkin. So that's an interesting one. How do you candy pumpkin?
Candied pumpkin, you know, speaking of like all people all over the world having candied pumpkin, apparently, I have not tasted this, but I've read about it. In India, in Agra, they have a specialty of candied pumpkin. And what you do with the pumpkin, and the Portuguese do something like this too, you just cook pumpkin chunks in a syrup until it becomes, the pumpkin chunks become kind of transparent. And then eventually you pull it out of the syrup and let it drip off and that sort of a thing. And depending on the culture that does this, the Mexicans do it too, you get a somewhat different texture. And, you know, it probably depends on how much sugar there is, how long you cook it, and the specific variety that you use.
And now if we do want to be old-fashioned and make the pie, what do we do to make a great fresh pumpkin pie really pop?
Well, the first thing you do is you do not buy one of those jack-o'-lantern pumpkins, right? Mm-hmm. You buy a good cheese pumpkin if you want to make it from scratch. And I hate to admit this, but I often use the canned stuff. You didn't hear it from me. I will deny it. But the thing is, so you roast it. You scoop out the insides. You cover it lightly with foil, and you roast it until it's very, very soft. Now, here's the trick. When Libby's fills those cans, they don't just cook up the pumpkin and put it in the cans. They let it drain, and that's what you need to do. So once you've roasted the pumpkin, put it in a colander, a sieve, something like that, and let it hang out, ideally overnight, but even 2 or 3 hours, and you'll lose something like 50% of the water, at which point you've got this thick, dense puree that, again, if you've got extra, freezes beautifully. You can add the pumpkin soup later. But that's what you want to use for that, you know, custardy pumpkin pie. And buy good quality of raw sugar. That's what I think also, because if it's got that little bit of molasses flavor to it, it does improve things. You know, don't buy just regular old light brown sugar. Go out of your way and buy kind of the fancy stuff.
You've explained my pumpkin pie failures of the past. Let it drain first.
Otherwise, it's just way watery.
You've made my life better. Michael, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure.
That was Michael Crondell. He's a food historian and author of The Great Little Pumpkin Cookbook. We're starting to see baking pumpkins turn up in gardens, CSAs, farmers markets around the state. He gave us a little help. By the way, he's also the author of Sweet Invention, A History of Dessert.
I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferrar. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.